while I'm preaching, but now, and that way your friends and family will know that you are here and part of the service this morning. But we are so glad to see you as a part of the service this morning. Be sure and remember, we will not be having services this evening, so we want you to enjoy the day with your family. And we do appreciate all of you being here in the service this morning. Church board members, be sure and remember board meeting tomorrow night. The packets are at the sound desk, and Wayne will be glad to get those to you. Wednesday night services at 6:30, children, youth, and adults. And we are moving rapidly towards Super Summer Something. We'll be telling you more about that in the coming weeks. But we will be on Zoom and Facebook Live this coming Wednesday evening. And I'm just going to tell you, I appreciate my wife for what she did Wednesday night, and I've already had people tell me that I can go on vacation and leave her here again. Now I'm in trouble. Pastor Tyler did a wonderful job last Sunday night, and I appreciate it's so good to be able to know that if I do go, and I hope I'm not going permanently, but that I don't have to worry about what's going on here, and I do appreciate that. Wednesday night services at 6:30, we will be on Zoom and Facebook Live. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, ladies in fellowship together will be in the fellowship hall downstairs. The men will be in the Family Life Center. Both of those events are happening at 9 o'clock next Saturday. Bread of Life meal is next Saturday afternoon. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. If you want to help with that, be sure and see Karen, whether you want to bring food or if you want to help with the meal. Is there anything else that I need to tell them, Karen? Need potato salad. And if you can't make potato salad, green stuff will work every time. Money. So anyway, be sure and remember that. Annual church meeting is next Sunday evening, and we'll be honoring our graduates next Sunday morning in the service, but also honoring our graduates with a reception next Sunday night. So be sure and be here for that. Many, many other items in the newsletter. We want you to look at that. If you're not getting the newsletter, be sure and let us know. We are so glad that you are here today. Today is Mother's Day. I've already mentioned that. And we're glad that Scott is coming this morning to honor our mothers. Bless you, Scott.
It's a whole month of honoring. Last week was baby.
Right.
Today's mother. Next week's graduates. What's it after that? Are we going to think of something?
Promotion
Sunday. All right, there we go. It's always a celebration. Well, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Today we honor our mothers. What did you call your mom? Mom? Mama? Mommy? I'm 61. She might be watching. I still kind of call her mommy sometimes. Is that bad? Mom? Or you might have called her by her name. Who knows, right? Well, here are some mothers that are very familiar to us. See if you know these. Eve, right? First mother. Sarah, mother to Isaac, right? Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. Mary. And Lorna Allen. Mother of Scott Allen. That's right. Okay. Those are some famous mothers. All right. So the origination of Mother's Day as an official celebration, because really mothers should be celebrated, should have been celebrated for a long time, right? So in the 1900s, Anna Jarvis came up with a fairly genius idea that was ahead of her time, a day to honor mothers and sacrifices they make for their kids. Thus, Mother's Day was born. Ironically, Jarvis herself was unmarried and childless. But she pushed to have her holiday added to the calendar by kicking off a letter-writing campaign. I don't think they sent emails or texts to the president, but Woodrow Wilson in 1914 signed a measure that officially made the second Sunday in May Mother's Day. I didn't know that until I read into it. But here's something that's very interesting. All those cards and carnations and candy you buy for mom today, Jarvis was having none of it. She wanted mom celebrated, not commercialized. The mothers are saying, no, I'll take the gifts. And in the 20s, she slammed the modern incarnation of the holiday as a materialistic free-for-all. She might have been a party pooper. Can I say that on Facebook? Then again, she might have had a point. How much do you think was spent on Mother's Day in 2021? You're not going to believe it. $28.1 billion. That includes cards, flowers, and dinner outings. In fact, 68% of the moms can expect to get bouquets on May 8th. 85 million mothers in the United States. So that means $329 per mother is spent. I need to go. I got some work to do this afternoon. More phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. Phone traffic spikes as much as 37%. Why are mothers special? Here's some of the things that was said about mothers. Sacrificial spirit, considers the needs of others. Unconditional love. She shaped me. I can share anything with her. Strong. She supports everything I do. Loving, caring, brave, smart, God-hearted. Hardworking, understanding, smiles. Wonder Woman. Words of encouragement, and she comforts me. How would you describe your mother? Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also praises her. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I think at the end of the service there will be a presentation for the mothers, but thank you very much.
Just how far we've come, knowing that forever. Stand with me this morning as you're able. We're going to open with prayer and then we'll sing together. Father God, I'm thankful that we can say that we never walk alone. I'm thankful that we can look back over life and see that in times when it seems like we were maybe alone in our journey, when there were just one set of footprints in the sand, we can know that it was because you were carrying us through those moments. Amen. Father, this morning I pray that as we continue through this time of worship together, that you would walk with us in the moments to come. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
God sent His Son.
Before the throne of God. Worthy of every praise we could ever bring.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Jesus, you indeed are worthy of every song that we could ever sing. You have given your life for us in order that our sins might be forgiven, and in order that we might be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, in order that we might go to those who are around us. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory this morning, for you alone are worthy to be praised. How grateful we are, Father, for this opportunity to come together in this place to worship you. We are not here by chance. We are here in order that your Holy Spirit might move in our hearts and lives, might bring us into a closer walk with you. And we're grateful, Father, for that fact. And we're grateful that you are here to do your work in us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us open, receptive hearts. But then, Lord, I pray that you'd also give us obedient hands. Help us, O God, that we might do what you've called us to do. We're grateful, Lord, for this celebration of our mothers, and we're grateful for the opportunity to honor them today. We're so thankful, Lord, that we talked just a few weeks ago as we were approaching the Easter season, how you honored your mother at the cross. And so this morning we honor our mothers, and we're grateful for them. We're grateful for the impact that they've had on our lives. Thank you for the godly women who have been in our lives, who have shaped us, as Scott said just a few minutes ago, who have helped us, who have loved us unconditionally, sometimes, Lord, when we were very unlovable. But thank you, God, for the prayers of godly women who have brought us to the place that we are this morning. And we rejoice in that, and we give you glory, and we thank you for placing them in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring to you our needs and our burdens. Even this morning, requests have been given to me, Lord, for those who desperately need your physical touch. And so, Lord, we trust you that you're going to reach your healing hand down and touch and lift them up. For those of our congregation who aren't able to be here this morning, may you bless them, strengthen them, help them. May they sense your presence. And Lord, for those who are watching this morning via Facebook, I pray, God, that your presence would surround them and fill the place in which they are today. And so, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise for all that you're going to do in just a few moments. As we open the Word of God together, may you, through the power of your Spirit, speak to us and help us. We are not here to glorify anyone but you. And so we give you praise this morning for what you're going to accomplish in hearts and lives, in our community, in our country. We believe, God, you want to do great things, and so we trust you for that today. We love you. We give you glory and honor and praise. And all God's people said, amen. That song had had about one more verse to it. I don't know if I could have stood it. Aren't you glad that we can be free? Praise His name. I want to speak to you this morning from Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 there in the last chapter of the book of Romans. As we have a salute to mothers this morning. The Apostle Paul says there in Romans chapter 16, verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Who has been a mother to me too. Thoughts of our mothers usually bring out the tender side of individuals. Something about, and for many of us, this is the case. I do realize that this is, some cases this is not the way, but something about the tenderness of our mother brings out a warm and tender response from us. And something about the tenderness of the women maybe that we have known brings out a warm and caring response from us. And you really see that in this scripture this morning. If the only picture that we had of the Apostle Paul was what we see in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then we would think that the Apostle Paul was a very harsh individual, because when he speaks to the Corinthian church there in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, please understand, he is not writing in a lot of ways to commend that church. He's writing to scold that church. In fact, the one chapter there that we quote so much, the Apostle Paul is basically showing them that they do not possess the love that they were supposed to have when he was writing 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a wonderful chapter. You hear it at weddings. It's a wonderful thing. But he was not writing really to commend a church. He was writing to scold a church. And if the only picture that we had of Paul was there in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we would think that he was a very harsh individual. But I'm glad that we have more than just those books from which to make an opinion about the Apostle Paul. We don't know anything about Paul's mother. We know nothing about Paul's family. More than likely, when the Apostle Paul became a Christian, his family deserted him, and basically they considered him as dead. Jesus had an interesting take in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, when he says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much. And will inherit eternal life." That's one of the reasons that I broke down up there when I was reading the scripture to you early, when Paul says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." We've been away from home a long, long time. It has been for 13 years. I got to be my mom's pastor. And so I had one that sat back over here and one that sat over here, and I had to pay attention to both of them as I preached, you know. Mom's watching this morning, I'm sure. And I can tell you, though, that the scripture that Jesus gives us there in Matthew chapter 19 is true. Because we've been away from home a long, long time, and we've been away from family and friends for a long, long time. And in every church that we have pastored, there have been those ladies, those women, who have basically been mothers to us. And who, when we didn't have anywhere to go or we didn't have any place to be on Mother's Day or those days, they would invite us, especially before we had kids, and then we had kids, and then now that, you know, that whole scenario happens. And maybe one of our girls is watching this morning. The other, they're probably both in church right now. But you begin to look at this, and Paul says this in a very interesting way. He says, "Greet Rufus." Bless that man for that name. "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother." And his mother, who has been a mother to me too. We don't know much about Rufus. But we do know that Paul looked at this man and saw something special about this man, because he said he was chosen in the Lord. But then the Apostle Paul takes enough time to say, "Greet his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." Many people believe Rufus is thought to be Simon of Cyrene. And Simon of Cyrene was the one who carried our Lord's cross. And Rufus had a brother named Alexander. And here we read about his mother, if tradition is right, and that's who this was. But this morning, I really want us to look, and I really want us to see what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, "Greet this person." And then at the end of the service, I'm going to do what I do at every Mother's Day. I'm going to have all of our moms come and stand here across the front of the church, and I'm going to pray for you. That is such a special treat for me. And then the church has a little gift that we want to give you this morning. But the first thing that I want you to notice as you begin to look at this, I think the Apostle Paul recognizes her for her sacrifice. If you begin to think about it, I think sacrifice has always been a mark of true motherhood. I mean, I've heard of people talk about the sacrifices that their mother that made so that they could have the very best. If you read my article this week in the newsletter, and if you didn't, shame on you. If you read my article this week in the newsletter, you heard how I talked about my mom and the fact she took care of the finances. And I was talking to somebody just the other day about what my mom and dad made back in the years when I was growing up. And I look at that now and I wonder how in the world did we have what we had? I'm seeing some of you look at your mom, and that's what you're doing. You're looking back and you're thinking about how in the world did we have what we had? I can tell you how you had what you had. It was because of a sacrificial mother. You know, I've known the sacrifice of my own mother so that I could have the very best. And the sacrifice that we know is wonderful, but the sacrifice of our mothers, especially Christian mothers, especially Christian mothers in Paul's day, was more than we can even begin to imagine. Many times, those mothers in Paul's day gave their very lives for the sake of the gospel. They gave their very lives for the sake of the gospel, and evidently this mother had been willing to sacrifice of her time and energy for the sake of the gospel, or Paul would not have mentioned her. I mean, you begin to think about it. We don't know how she had helped Paul. But for him to say, and greet Rufus's mother who has been a mother to me too. There had to be more than just a casual, hi Paul, how you doing? Probably there were meals prepared. Probably there was a place to sleep when there was no other place to sleep. Probably many, many things that you could think of. And Paul says, greet her because she has been a blessing to me. She must have been a sacrificial worker in the church there in Rome. And the true mark of Christianity has always been and will always be a willingness to sacrifice. If you don't get anything else this morning, you better get that. The true mark of Christianity has always been and will always be a willingness to sacrifice. Christian mothers across the years have continually sacrificed themselves to see that the gospel was promoted to the next generation. I said this in my article as well. I really believe that Christianity is as much caught as it is taught. Because we see the reality of it in people's lives. And when we see the reality of sacrifice in someone's life, it becomes part of us as well, that we are willing to sacrifice and that we are willing to do what we need to do. You see, moms, you have such a great and awesome responsibility. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. I've watched my own wife, I've watched my mother, I've watched my grandmother across the years. I don't know how they do what they do. Somebody should have said amen right there. Those of the male species especially. Mothers have sacrificed their time to teach us right from wrong, to teach us how to live. They've sacrificed some important things to see that the Christian heritage has been passed along. And the Lithuanian word for mother is the same word as our word martyr. That ought to say something to us right there. That mothers have sacrificed their time. They have sacrificed themselves. They give themselves because they love their family, because they love God, because they love the church. I'm so thankful. And I really want you to get this morning, and I can't speak to the history of this church because I don't know all of the history of this church, but I am so thankful for some of the churches that I have pastored, because had it not been for Christian mothers carrying the torch of that church would not have survived. And more than likely that could be said of this church, that there were women across the years who sacrificed and did everything that they could do to pay for a building down on 4th Street and then to pay for a building here. Aren't you glad for the willingness of mothers to sacrifice? And this mother had been a mother to Paul and had loved him in various trials and various circumstances, and evidently had sacrificed her time that a motherless son might have a mother who cared about him and who loved him. And Paul recognizes her sacrifice. But not only does Paul recognize her sacrifice, but I believe that Paul also recognizes her purity. He recognizes her purity. And you may say, William, why in the world did you, why are you saying that? Well, I want you to know that across the years I have read the Apostle Paul's writings enough to know that he would not have recognized this woman had she not represented a holy and pure character, the character of Christ. That was not in his nature. The Apostle Paul was not out to win friends and influence people. Well, he influenced people, but he didn't win a whole lot of friends in various places. If you remember at Thessalonica, he was there 2 weeks and they ran him off. I'm glad we did better than that, okay? You'll catch that in just a second, yeah. But the Apostle Paul is recognizing a holy and a pure character, that the character of Christ that evidently was in this woman. Scott read it just a few minutes ago in Proverbs 31. It says that she is clothed, speaking of the Proverbs 31 woman. And my wife has a book that says, "Help, I'm overwhelmed by the Proverbs 31 woman." But are y'all with me this morning? Listen to what it says, verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The purity and the strength of mothers, I believe, is always evident in their children. I mean, John and Charles Wesley are perfect examples of this. Their mother, Susanna, prayed and taught each of her children. We're told that she spent an hour a day with each of her children. I don't know how she had time to do anything else. Teaching them, praying with them. And you begin to look at John and Charles Wesley, and we are here today because of what John and Charles Wesley did. We are Wesleyan and Arminian in our theology. And it's because of Susanna Wesley, because of what she did for her children. Sam P. Jones, who was a Methodist preacher from Cartersville, Georgia. I've been by his house lots of times when we lived there. And he was a great Methodist evangelist. The Ryman Auditorium was actually built in honor of Sam Jones by a riverboat captain. And this is what Sam Jones said. He said, "The greatest force in this country is a first-class mother. She lives longer and stronger than any character, for she multiplies herself by the number of her children." Wow. She multiplies herself by the number of her children. Paul Needham wrote a poem entitled "We Need Godly Mothers," and I think it illustrates the point. And Scott named off a few of the mothers of the Bible just a few minutes ago. Listen to this, what Paul Needham said. He said, "We need mothers like Hannah, Eunice, and Lois. Mothers who take the time to show us by living their lives with faith that is true, that trusting God is really what we should do. We need mothers like Jochebed, mothers like Ruth, mothers who teach their children the truth and point them to Christ, the truth and the way. This is the need of our sick world today. Mothers who pray and mothers who plead are those who are trusting God for each need. These shall be praised, for they fear the Lord. These are the faithful. They honor His word." Steve and Annie Chapman many years ago sang a song entitled "The Greatest Gift," and the chorus of that song says, "The greatest gift that a mother can give is a life lived for Jesus." The greatest and best gift that any of us children can have is, is a life that has been represented before us that is pure in the sight of God. And Paul recognizes, I believe, this woman for her sacrifice. He recognizes this woman for her purity, but I also believe that he recognizes her for her faith. He recognizes her for her faith. And evidently, this woman was a woman of faith. She evidently trusted God. She encouraged others to do also. Paul told Timothy of the faith that had been passed down to him from two godly women. Lois, which was Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, which was Timothy's mother. I wrote about that in my article, that I at least have that much in common with Timothy. You know, I had a godly grandmother and I had a godly mother. I watched those two women as I grew up. My grandma Bonnie, I didn't see her but about 2 weeks out of every year, but I am glad to report to you that she was a godly woman as well. But I remember walking into from my bedroom, in through the dining room, into the kitchen, and just beyond that was the den there in the house. Walking in on my grandmother as she was having her morning devotions. And I watched her as she read her Bible. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I watched. And I watched her as she read her Bible, and as she closed her Bible, and that morning she began to sing, "O Come Angel Band." I don't know if she was praying that God would take her away from a grandson or not, but I watched her that morning as she sang that song and as she wiped the tears from her eyes. And then she bowed her head. I have no idea what she prayed for that morning, but I want you to know that was 50 years ago now. And it still has an impact on me today. An illustration of how to begin the day. How to start the day with the one who is going to lead her through that day. I called Mom the night that the big flood happened in Baton Rouge. And we didn't know what we were going to come back to. Houses all around us were already flooding and the water was coming up fast. We had been watching it all day long. I called Mom and I said, "Mom, we're leaving the house. We've packed up everything. We've got everything where we can get it. And the rest we've put up high in hopes that if the water does get high, it won't get to it." And she said, "Well, I'll be praying." And we left and went on to the church. Slept on the platform of the church for several nights. It was the only place in Baton Rouge Church that the carpet was padded. So that's where we slept. A couple of weeks after everything was said and done, I was talking to Mom on the phone and Mom said, "William, you never told me what happened with the flood." And what she knew that our house had not flooded. We went several days not knowing whether or not our house was going to flood or not. And then on Wednesday, after we had abandoned the house on Saturday, we got word that our house did not flood. And I was talking to Mom a couple of weeks later, and Mom said, "William, you never told me what happened with the house." And I said, "Well, Mom, the water got into the streets, but it did not get into the house or, you know, anywhere like that." And Mom began to cry. And I said, "Mom, what's the matter?" She said, "William, after I hung up the phone with you," she said, "I began to pray." And she said, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed till I had peace." The old timers call that praying through. She said, "William, I prayed until I had peace." And she said, "It was though the Lord impressed me as I was getting up from the side of the bed. It was as though the Lord impressed me that it'll get in the streets, but it won't get in the house." And that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm not saying that my mom's prayers just spared those two neighborhoods right there. I've got a picture that I could show you this morning of the neighbors, the neighborhood there. And there are two neighborhoods right there around us. And all, by all rights, they should have flooded, but they did not. And there were countless other people in Baton Rouge that did flood. And we had people in our, we had 25 families in our church in Baton Rouge that had anywhere from 4 inches to 8 feet of water in their houses. I'm not saying that there was some significance other than to say that I believe that my mom prayed. There's no other way to explain it. No other way to explain it. One of the ladies in the church, when I was telling them about this, Marilyn, whose house had 8 feet of water in it, Marilyn said to me, she said, "Pastor, had your house flooded, you would have not been able to do what you needed to do in order to take care of all that needed to be taken care of." She said, "God answered your mom's prayers for that specific reason." I don't know. I just know it got in the streets. It didn't get in the house. You see, I think that we have people who are sitting among us this morning who are women of faith, who when they pray and they bombard heaven with those prayers, that God hears and that God answers. It's an amazing thing when you stop and think of it. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "I know the faith that lives in you was first in your grandmother Lois and also in your mother Eunice." And he said, "And that faith has been transferred." This is the bony paraphrase of that, okay? "That faith has been transferred to you as well." And I do want you to understand something this morning. Your faith, whether you are a mother or a father, whether you are a grandmother or a grandfather, your faith will not soon be forgotten. Let me also add, your lack of faith will not soon be forgotten. You see, it's so important that as we are living this life before our kids, as we are living this life before our grandkids, that they see something in us, that we are different from the rest of the world, and therefore they too can be different from the rest of the world. Amen? You see, when I look at this, I see that the Apostle Paul, I believe, recognizes her for her sacrifice. I think he recognizes her for her purity, and I think he recognizes her for her faith. "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord." Isn't that an amazing statement right there? "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother also, who has been a mother to me too." Conclusion. I'm amazed when I read this passage of Scripture, because I read other places in the Apostle Paul. He was always greeting people, but this is the only place that we find him making this kind of statement. C. Neil Straight said, "Once a year is hardly adequate to honor mothers the way they deserve to be honored." I heard someone a few minutes ago when Scott was asking about Mother's Day, and someone said we need to honor them every day. "Once a year is hardly adequate to honor mothers the way they deserve to be honored. Every day of the year should be a bit of honor from their children. And the deepest honor is not a gift or an award, but a life that is lived nobly and with dignity." Mothers, in just a few moments, you're going to give me one of the greatest honors that I have as a pastor. I have been doing this for a long, long time, and it does me this way every time. You're going to give me the greatest honor that you can give me is coming and standing before this congregation and allowing me the opportunity to pray for you. You have blessed us since we have been your pastor and pastor's wife. I have watched you with Tyler and Brianna as they have come, and how you have blessed them and blessed those three little ones. You are wonderful people, and we are so thankful for you. And thank you for those moms in the congregation who have been a mother to us too. Ladies, mothers, if you will come and stand here and allow me the honor, if you will, to pray for you this morning. Now, guys, you've done real well at this the past few years. One year we had to do it on Facebook, but you've done real well at doing this. Isn't this a beautiful sight? Amen. Amen. Yes, that's good. That's appropriate. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can come to you this morning with grateful hearts. Hearts that have been impacted and have been shaped and molded by women who followed close after you. And before me this morning stands a group of women that I believe want to shape and mold a coming generation, but also that have already worked to bring about godliness and holiness and purity and faith in generations that are now raising their own kids. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for these women who stand before me this morning. I'm thankful for the honor this morning, Lord, of praying for them. Many of these ladies are grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and I thank you, Lord, for the heritage that they are showing to generations that are following. Many of these who are standing before me this morning have kids at home right now. What a challenging world we live in to try to raise children who are people of faith, who are people of purity, who are people that follow after Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that these women have made across the years. And I pray, God, that you would bless them and you would help them and that you would indeed honor that sacrifice. Some of these women this morning have children who are not walking with you, even though they led them in the right way. May you honor those prayers, and may you bring those children home. For those, Lord, who are in this congregation, maybe who have never had children, I pray, Father, that you would bless them and help them in their work that they do, in their work that they do for you, that children might see them, might see their faith and their love, their purity, their sacrifice for you. May they follow close after you because of the impact of women who maybe are not their moms, but they can see what you do through them. Thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to honor these ladies, these mothers. May you bless them in this day. And Lord, if there's one standing here this morning that they don't know you as their Savior, may today be the day in which they look to you and they find that faith of a mother or a grandmother or of a friend to become their faith today. We love you and we praise you for what you're going to accomplish through these women. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jane and Ellen, y'all are standing right in front of two back baskets. If you would, Billy preached against this while he was here. These are hand sanitizers. They're just little things from Bath and Body Works. That was funny, wasn't it? You know, they were already ordered when he talked about it, so you know there wasn't much we could do about it. But it's just a small token just to say thank you and that we love you and we want you to be healthy. How about that? Because we would sure be up a creek without you. I know that much. Oh, may God bless you, ladies. And if y'all want to go over to the aisles and then they can pass by y'all, thank you for doing that. I was supposed to get two kids, and I did get two kids. That's what Ellen would say. May God bless you as you go back to your seats and take these gifts. I hope that it's special to you. We love you. While our ladies are going back to their seats, we're so glad that you joined us this morning on Facebook. I hope that today was a very special blessing to you. We're so glad that you joined us here in house today. And if you are our guest today, we're glad that you are here. Hope that you'll fill out that visitor's card and drop that in the offering plate or in the box back at the back so that we'll have a record of you being here. I hope you have a great day today with your family and with your friends as you celebrate Mother's Day. May God bless you. You are dismissed.